Welcome once again to our program. We are discussing intelligent design and biological evolution, which has been debated very, very strongly, particularly in the United States over the past perhaps 10 years. My guest, as usual, is Ron Eldred, who is professor and teacher at John Paul II Catholic High in world history, American history, and also in the Bible. I'm your host, Father Larry Moran, Pastor Emeritus at St. Patrick's here at 19th and Poplar. Ron, welcome once again to the program. This is our ninth series on intelligent design and biological evolution debate. We're up to that situation where we're talking about what is the Catholic Church's position on the theory of evolution. Can we say clearly what it is?
You might recall that in one of our earlier sessions, I think the second session, we spent the whole session looking at the theory of evolution itself. And so you're asking then, what's the Church's position on this theory? We just finished discussing basically the Church's position on intelligent design. And for the most part, I think that position is that it should not be taught in the public school classroom. It's a more philosophical, theological issue, that it ought to be taught in philosophy class or religion class or something like that.
Intelligent design.
Yes. I think that's essentially, if I could say no more about it, I think that's essentially what the Church's position on that is that people like Father Coyne and Father Facchini and top Catholic scientists believe that intelligent design doesn't use the scientific methodology to a point where it is a legitimate science, and that it's more philosophical, theological in orientation. So therefore, any discussion of that type should be in a theology class or a philosophy class or literature class.
But as we've often discussed, and I keep bringing up the other side for intelligent design, we certainly, at least I would, and I think maybe you would too from what you've said, would favor some kind of discussion in public schools about teach the options or teach what the debate is about.
Yes, we'll come back to that in a little more detail before we finish up our series. Let me address your question here, though, the Church's position on the theory of evolution. More correctly, I would call evolution a hypothesis rather than a theory. A hypothesis is an educated guess as to what one considers the truth to be about some cause and effect relationship. It does not exist at nearly the level of probability that does a theory. A theory is a tested hypothesis of a cause and effect relationship that is a higher level of probability that it is true. So I believe that since evolution is far from a proven fact, it should be referred to as an hypothesis and not as a theory. Now, we'll be addressing this question here a little bit. John Paul, back a number of years ago, made a statement something to the effect that he thought that the theory of evolution was more than a hypothesis, and so we'll come back to that later. We encountered the evolutionary hypothesis when we discussed intelligent design because the two, the concepts are interrelated. In fact, they're debating one another. That's what the whole point of this series is about, is that debate between the two. And since the time of St. Augustine in the 4th century, Catholics have not found a conflict between religion and science. And the position of the Roman Catholic Church on the evolution hypothesis has changed over the past two centuries, from a long period where no official declaration on the subject was made to what some believe was a statement of neutrality in the 1950s by Pius XII and Imanagenerus and some other comments he made at other times, and then to more favorable statements during the past few years, especially statements made by John Paul during his pontificate.
Okay, now you mentioned Pope Pius XII's comment on evolution in his encyclical Humanigenerus in 1950. Can you say a few more words about that?
Yes, he did make quite a few comments in that encyclical. He didn't really write it to warn about the theory of evolution, though. He wrote the encyclical to warn against several ideologies and philosophies, including neo-Darwinism, that he believed were threatening the Catholic faith at the time, including the evolutionary ideas of Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, a French Jesuit philosopher and who wrote a lot on this
paleontology.
Yeah, he was actually a paleontologist by profession, a scientist, in other words. He did make a few comments. Pius XII did make a few comments on the evolutionary hypothesis.
Because he wanted to warn ideas that were threatening, really, the basis of the Catholic faith.
Yes. His views on evolution expressed in the encyclical can be summarized as follows. The first one. The question of the origin of man's body from pre-existing and living matter is a legitimate matter of inquiry for natural science. I'm not quoting here, I'm just
summarizing.
Just synthesizing and summarizing. Catholics are free to form their own opinions, but they should do so cautiously. They should not confuse fact with conjecture, and they should respect the Church's right to define matters touching on revelation. In other words, he's saying that, yeah, it's okay if Catholics want to do research in this area, and offer hypotheses and what have you, that's fine. But be careful, because it's still not a proven fact. There are a lot of gaps, and there certain data could be interpreted in other ways, and all kinds of issues there. A second matter. Catholics must believe, however, that God created the human soul immediately from nothing at the moment of conception. Since the soul is a spiritual substance, it is not brought into being through transformation of matter, but directly by God, which explains the special uniqueness of each person. So that's the second point he makes. In
big point that many, many neo-Darwinist scientists would completely disagree
with. Oh, yes, certainly. And thirdly, all men have descended from an individual Adam who has transmitted original sin to all mankind. So Catholics may not therefore believe in what's called polygenism. That is the scientific hypothesis that mankind descended from a group of original humans. In other words, there were many Adams and Eves.
I remember teaching John Paul II Catholic High, but Schulte Catholic High back in the early 50s, and this was a point being discussed. Well, could we hold as Catholics that there were many originators, original families of groups, rather than just Adam and Eve? And of course, that's what Pope Pius XII was talking against.
Yeah, he'd already written
that. Polygenesis.
When you were teaching.
Yeah.
1950, when he wrote it.
Okay. Well, didn't Pope John Paul II say something about the theory of evolution a few years back, and it raised some real discussion?
Yeah, we mentioned this a while ago. John Paul was commenting on the creation accounts in Genesis during a 1986 general audience when he said, quote, "The theory of natural evolution, understood in a sense that does not exclude divine causality, is not in principle opposed to the truth about the creation of the visible world as presented in the book of Genesis." End of quote.
Okay, so as long as it does not exclude divine causality,
right,
or God at the beginning.
And he went further in 1996 in a message to the Pontifical Academy of Sciences when he wrote, quote, "Fresh knowledge requires one to realize that evolution is more than a hypothesis," end of quote. He wrote for this occasion, quote, "It is indeed remarkable that this theory has been progressively accepted by researchers following a series of discoveries in various fields of knowledge. Furthermore," he said, "the convergence neither sought nor fabricated the results of work that was conducted independently is in itself a significant argument in favor of this theory. End of quote. However, in the same address, the Pope rejected any theory of evolution that provides a materialistic explanation for the human soul. In this regard, he said, quote, theories of evolution, which because of the philosophies which inspire them, regard the spirit either as emerging from the forces of living matter or as a simple epiphenomenon of that matter are incompatible with the truth about man, end of quote. Now, by epiphenomenon, the Pope means a secondary phenomenon, that is a byproduct of another phenomenon. For example, the soul being a byproduct of the body or of the parents' bodies and not a direct creation of God at the moment of conception.
Okay, wasn't there a lot of debate at the time when Pope John Paul II mentioned this, that it's more than a hypothesis?
Oh, yeah, there was a real storm over the whole thing among certain Catholics, but also especially Protestants were very critical of a lot of the things that he said. Of course, obviously, natural scientists and the neo-Darwinians are going to be very overjoyed, you know, with some kind of comment like that that they can make a lot out of.
Because obviously he's not speaking under the umbrella of what we as Catholics would call infallibility. He's trying to update what people have told him about the latest scientific discoveries.
The first time it came out, it didn't come out in Latin. I think he probably wrote it in Latin. No, I think he wrote it in French, maybe. I'm not sure, but that was the first copy that anybody had was a French copy.
Really?
And there was a lot of debate over the words that were used, more than a hypothesis.
Oh.
And finally, the Vatican found it necessary to issue a statement. I think Cardinal Ratzinger, now Pope Benedict XVI, actually issued a statement saying that he meant to say more than a hypothesis.
That's what he meant to say. Okay.
He probably went and clarified it with the Pope, you know, what did you mean to say?
It didn't clarify any more as to what more than a hypothesis meant.
No, I never did read anything further on that that would have done that, yes. I think it seems clear that he intended to hold the view that evolution is supported by the evidence, to some extent at least. I have heard it said that he was making a subtle distinction between a hypothesis and a theory. And as we said in an earlier session, a hypothesis is simply a possible explanation of a phenomenon, that is an educated guess, what one thinks the truth is about something, whereas a theory is an explanation with some supporting evidence, usually based on testing and research, observation, that kind of thing. So the Pope appears to think there is some evidence to support evolution, at least enough to consider evolution, quote, more than a hypothesis, end of quote.
Okay.
But not necessarily a theory.
So maybe a step towards a theory.
Yeah, somewhere in some gray area between hypothesis and theory.
All right, well now the latest reports we've had are from Cardinal Schönborn in the New York Times. And we've discussed it in an earlier session. And how does that square with Pope John Paul II's statement?
I don't think there's any contradiction between the two men's views. To refresh our listeners' memory, recall that he said, Cardinal Schönborn said in an earlier session of this series, when we were discussing intelligent design, that the Cardinal's article caused quite a stir when he wrote, quote, unguided, unplanned evolution is inconsistent with Catholic faith. And he appeared to support the intelligent design view. And we left it at that because we said we'd come back to it when we had more information to analyze it. I read his article and several articles about his articles in the Times, that is the New York Times, and some other articles and interviews he gave on the subject. And my conclusion from reading these is that he accepts intelligent design as a philosophical or a theological approach to the subject, but not a scientific explanation. I read that most of the expert critics interviewed said that the Cardinal's view is useful if taken in the theological sense. As they pointed out, evolution has sometimes been used to justify atheism, that is, you know, no God, or immanentism, that God is a vague life force of some kind, some or another. What's that Star Wars, or not Star Wars, the Force, or whatever they call it.
The Force in Star Wars.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The Force.
Energy.
But also evolution has been used to justify deism, that is, God set the universe in motion, but then had nothing to do with it once it was, created, designed and created. These critics say that the extent his point, that is Cardinal Schönberg's point, is that Christianity cannot accept a universe without an active personal God, that his conclusions are essentially beyond dispute. John Allen, in an article in the National Catholic Reporter, said that most critics wouldn't dispute the cardinal's statement that, and he's going to quote what the cardinal statement is, quote, the Catholic Church, while leaving to science many details about the history of life on earth, proclaims, by the light of reason, the human intellect can readily and clearly discern purpose and design in the natural world, including the world of living things, end of quote. Or another statement he made, quote, evolution is the sense of a common ancestry, might be true, but evolution in the neo-Darwinian sense, that is an unguided, unplanned process of random variation and natural selection, is not. In other words, John Allen, who's a reporter and writer for the National Catholic Reporter, is making these comments about Cardinal Schönberg here and this whole issue. The Cardinal clarifies his position more in an article published in the leading Catholic journal, First Things, entitled, quote, The Designs of Science, in which he said Neo-Darwinianism is an unguided, quote, an unguided, unplanned process of random variation and natural selection. He points out how modern science has chosen to dismiss what we have called in our recent discussions in this series, formal and final causes, to the inclusion of efficient and material causes, only considering efficient and material causes, mm-hmm. which is, as we pointed out, is a limited view of the completeness of truth and reality. The cardinal's purpose is to alert us to the materialism and positivism, which we also talked about in an earlier session, found in modern science. And as we discussed in also, materialism is the ideology or philosophy that says that physical matter is the only reality and that everything, including thought, feeling, mind, and will, these could all be explained in terms of matter and physical phenomena. And recall that positivism is the ideology or philosophy that bases all knowledge on perception and denies the validity of intuition or revelation as valid methods of discovering reality or truth. Although the cardinal didn't say anything about scientism here, it is pertinent to our discussion. Remember that we said earlier that scientism is a belief that scientific knowledge is the foundation of all knowledge, that scientific argument should always be given more weight than knowledge derived by other methods, including philosophy and theology. The cardinal closes this article by saying, quote, what frequently passes for modern science, with its heavy accretion of materialism and positivism, is simply wrong about nature in fundamental ways. Modern science is often, in the words of my essay, he's referring to his essay in the New York Times here, ideology is not science. It's ideology, not science. The problem caused by positivism are equally acute in the broad anti-teleological implications drawn from Darwin's theory of evolution, I'm still quoting, which has become, in the phrase of Pope Benedict XVI, writing some years ago, the new first philosophy of the modern world, a total and foundational description of reality that goes far beyond a proper grounding in the descriptive and reductive science on which it is based. My essay, again, he's referring to his article in the New York Times, my essay was designed to awaken Catholics from their dogmatic slumber about positivism in general and evolutionism in particular, and it appears to have worked, end of quote. In other words, what he's referring to is that there was such a
stir
after he wrote this article.
Okay, well, I'm glad he wrote it personally, because I think he was really trying to clear clarify a very important matter
for us. It certainly had valid points.
And I never heard that said before, Ron, that what Pope Benedict XVI said, the new first philosophy of the modern world is really based on materialism. And I guess we see that all around us, that there isn't anything but material, what we can see. No soul, no spiritual soul, no God, no spirit beyond. Okay, now it appears from what you've been saying that the Cardinal is making a distinction between evolution as a science and what he calls evolutionism. Anytime it's got an ism on the end, it seems to say it's getting into, we want to say why there's no God, or why there's Nazism, didn't believe in a God.
Yeah, when you add the ISM, you're always talking about an ideology of some kind, or some kind of a philosophy.
Okay. Well, can you comment on this further, that he's trying to make a distinction between science, evolution, and evolutionism as really a thought process, which is coming up with conclusions they're not capable of coming up conclusions with?
Certainly, I can add to that. I read the transcript of an interview with Cardinal Shinburn, where he distinguishes between evolution as a science and what he calls evolutionism as a philosophy or an ideology. In this regard, he said, quote, evolution is a scientific theory. In other words, what he calls evolution, that's science. He thinks that uses the methodology of science, that set of steps that we talked about in one of our earlier sessions.
Now, you're still quoting.
Yeah, still quoting. What I call evolutionism is an ideological view that says evolution can explain everything in the whole development of the cosmos, from the Big Bang to Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. I consider this an ideology. It's not good for science if it becomes ideological, because it leaves its own field and enters the area of philosophy, of worldviews, maybe of religion. That's one of the problems, of course, with teaching of evolution in the public schools. It has certainly, entered into that realm, but not the realm that the ideas, of course, want. And they just want fairness. They did what they consider to be fairness. They want to have an equal saying in the whole thing. Regarding intelligent life, he said that intelligent life, I'm quoting here, intelligent life can't be explained by material causes. That matter can't cause intelligence. Only intelligence can. He is here, of course, referring to God as the great intelligence. The philosophical answer is that matter can't create intelligence because intelligence is spiritual, which exists at a higher order of being than matter. And since matter is limited and exists at a lower level of being, it can't create a higher level or order of being. In other words, the effect can't be greater than the cause, which, of course, this
one... That's just a fundamental...
That's a fundamental philosophical, one of the most fundamental of all principles. Not as fundamental as the law of, the so-called principle of non-contradiction, where, Aristotle and later on Aquinas starts out all of... almost all philosophers start out from that.
Self-evident.
Yes.
A thing cannot be and not be at the same time in the same way.
Yeah, in the same way or same respect. In order to the question, quote, you've said that scientists have been arrogant in this debate, he answered, there is almost a ban on debate. This is Cardinal Shinburn now in this interview speaking here. Critics of evolution theory are discriminated against and discredited from the start. What I would like to see in schools, in a critical, open, and positive spirit, so that we don't make a dogma of evolution theory, but we say, here is a theory. A lot speaks for it in many points, but there are points where there is no answer. Of course, one should not claim to teach evolution while actually teaching the ideology of evolutionism. If one does, this should be clearly stated, end of quote.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong here, Ron, but this seems to me Cardinal Shinburn is merely restating what the intelligent designers say, teach the controversy. That there's another side to the question. And so he doesn't seem to think, He says, I would like to see in schools a critical and open and positive spirit that we teach the debate.
You'll see a little later on in our discussion, though, that he believes this should be done in a, not in a high school biology class,
okay,
but it should be done in a religion or philosophy class, or maybe in a arts or some other literature or something of that sort kind of class.
But as you've said so many times before, there isn't any other place that evolution is taught in the public school. So I think that's why the intelligent designers are saying...
Oh, sure. That's why they want to get it into the science classroom, because there is no other means to do it. There's no other provisions in a public school system to do this.
Okay. Does the Cardinal believe that the Christian view is an alternative to Darwin?
Well, he was asked just this question during this interview that I'm referring to here. In answer to the question, he said, quoting him here, Christian teaching about evolution is not an alternative to evolution theory. Evolution theory is a scientific thesis, while the teaching about creation is a tentative faith. I think, as do many people, other people, that both are open to each other, and they should not be put each other in question. There is not a wall of separation between them. I don't expect the biblical teaching about creation should be presented as a rival scientific theory to evolution theory. He goes on to say, people have tried to box me into a corner by setting up an either-or proposition. It's either evolution or intelligent design. That I don't accept. Evolution, intelligent design, and Christian teaching on creation are not all on the same level. For me, the whole question of intelligent design is primarily a question of reason. The argument that the whole complexity of life can be explained as mere random process is unreasonable, in my opinion. No person who experiences such complexity would say that it created itself. That's the point. The second step is to ask, okay, which intelligence created this? As a believer, I naturally think it is the intelligence of the Creator. And 90% of humanity thinks that too. In answer to the follow-up question, why do we say that this is a question of reason and not a belief? He answers, for 30 years I've heard from the Pope, from Professor Joseph Ratzinger, he got his doctorate under Ratzinger, Benedict's name before he assumed the papacy, that the church has a task in these times of defending reason. It must defend reason against reductionism, that in the end, ideologically speaking, is a kind of materialism, end of quote.
From what Cardinal Schönborn said, it seems the Cardinal believes that intelligent design does not belong in a biology class.
That's right. In this regard, he says, quote, the question of the Creator belongs in religion class. On the other hand, he says that the question of the intelligent project of the cosmos, as the Pope put it, naturally belongs in with science. The question that great scientists like Einstein and Heisenberg asked are questions that go beyond materialism. In the end, it's a question about intelligence. Is intelligence the product of matter? Is the information that intelligence shapes a product of matter? This is clearly a question that can quickly turn ideological and philosophical, so that belongs in the school. But I might add, in a religion or a philosophy class.
Okay, may God bless you always and in all ways.